This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Young guys, last, now everybody go talk breakfast.
Talking Heads with Naughty is sponsored by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Dunkin' Donuts, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, J.S. Johnson, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
The Wednesday, December 21st edition of Talking Heads is on and popping. 4 days away from Christmas, Wednesday edition. And like I said, a special edition today, because you know Christmas coming up. And when my friends do big things, I like to make sure assist them in doing big things. So no stranger to the show. We've talked on many occasions, you know, in her capacity with Rise Bahamas. But today, got my good friend, my homegirl, Tada with me. We talking music today. Boy, you had Big Show over there to the theater, right?
Yes, I.
Come on, Nakia.
We had fun. We had VIPs in the place.
Stop
we had
it.
Glennis Anna Martin show up.
There you go.
J. LaShelle Adley, President there of the Senate, all kind of people.
Man, when I got to work like the following week, because you know I was down with that flu. And he's like, boy, Naughty, your girl was carrying on. He sneaked to the bar. I said, yes, but it all don't play, right? I said, I didn't tell you a lot of our generation's carrying on. Bob, you down with the bad.
Yeah, I had fun, I ain't gonna lie. But all the young people who helped pull this thing off was the band, Sweet Melody Band.
Yeah, but now you know something you got to do more of. In 2023, we need to get some unplugs going, man, some wine and cheese, right ambiance.
You sound like you're on the right track.
Yeah, and then you bring some friends.
What I could do is do members-only stuff, and then I could do an annual thing.
Yeah,
so like BNT, NAGB.
And I got you. Comedians lined up to warm everybody up before y'all come on and do your thing, man. Let's do it.
Let them find the family-friendly content.
Man, we got that.
Okay.
Got all everything, right. Man.
Okay. Sounds like a collab.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't know this. I did a family show for years with Christian Magician.
Oh, really?
About 5 or 6 years we did it. And then this foreign dude with all kind of props and, you know, smoke and mirror showed up. And then, you know, they didn't need our little local magic show. You know how to go, but it is what it is.
Bahamian music and entertainment industry needs a life. We need an injection.
We need like a lot of people. When I get in conversations, I say, yeah, but your generation had the Cat and the Fiddle.
Right.
You all had the Playhouse.
Right.
You all had a ton of places.
Ronnie's where
you
also performed.
Ronnie's Rebel Room. You had Penis Taylor Drumbeat Club. You had all of that.
Yeah. But right now, all y'all could get is the CDs. We have them in the jukebox.
Boom.
I almost said the jukebox. We have them in.
You remember the jukebox?
Yes. Shout out to Donnell. We have them in Logos Bookstore and Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza. I open them, sign them, and put the wrapping back on top. So they are autographed. It's the Tada F5 and Am That Girl CDs. And they're also at the National Art Gallery on West Hill Street, NAGB, exclusively.
Okay.
If you want to buy in bulk, hit up the text line and we'll hit you up.
And we'll get you coordinated.
Yeah. Get you information like Beyonce says.
And signed up. But listen, you know, you got to have more spaces like you said, though. It should be that, you know, we get to entertain. We got a plethora of tourists coming in.
Yeah.
We should have venues. There needs to be venues now that need to start tapping into that industry and saying, you know what? We need to add some local entertainment here.
Yeah, I think the time is ripe. We've been talking about it for a while. We've seen previous administrations say, oh, we're going to do a grant for the arts and entertainment, $1 million. Yay, big deal. And that even as dismal as that sounded, didn't come to fruition. So, you know, the advocate side of me will always be there, and I will always push for creative industries to become a real thing like it is in the States.
Right.
The number one industry.
And see, you all in the CDs here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. When I worked the road in the States, right?
Mm-hmm.
After we perform, the audience is waiting for us on the outside or wherever we are set up to buy merchandise.
Yeah.
It's a whole market after the show to sell merchandise.
Yeah.
I sell a t-shirt at Atlantis. Been selling it. I've been there 25 years. I've been selling maybe 15 in peak season.
15? What do you mean?
For 15 years, I've been selling this during peak season. And this shirt does numbers, man.
You serious?
Yes, man.
What did Shirt say?
No, man, no. I don't want my hair braided. I don't want a jet ski. I don't want a booze cruise. I don't want a bicycle. I don't want a t-shirt. I don't want a cigar. I don't want a timeshare. I don't want nothing. Leave me alone.
Wow.
And at the bottom, on the very bottom, it says P.S. and I don't want a taxi either.
Wow, that's genius.
That's why if you need a taxi, you tuck it in. If not, you let it all hang out. And it is copywritten, so if any t-shirt, you know, replicate pirates are out there and you replicate it,
Think twice.
I will sue you and win because it's been copyrighted for years. You know me, Anna Dum-Dum.
Well, you're very industrious.
Yeah, and then, you know, you do the bumper sticker variety of it and a couple other things.
Yeah.
Shot glass. And then I do another joke about an airline, you know, like you know.
The biggest merch I've seen recently, Angelica Wallace Whitfield, Hope is a Weapon. And she did like a street campaign with that too. So you see, show up different places on walls and graffiti on buildings and things like that. And then you got
the shirts. Hope is a Weapon not too far from where I live.
Yeah. And I think it's fantastic.
Strategically done. You know who got some other creative stuff with the flip flops? Is Tina, Tanaris Robinson.
Yeah. She got some serious flip flops. I love them.
Yes, but they dread. I got to hit her up because I want a special, you know.
You know, or like a
custom,
signature edition.
A customized one.
Oh.
I got something I wanted to put in the soles.
Mm-hmm.
Make it creative, you know.
Shout out to all these creatives because Tina Clinaris, so, you know, that's a part of the creative
And she's
crew.
A brilliant writer, too.
She's a writer as well.
Yeah, she does
well, I know too. Helen Clinaris.
Helen Evans, another writer, too. All of them. All of them.
And these people
Andrews,
finally.
Yeah.
So, like, with me, right, when I look back at my history, my uncle Stephen Burroughs, he did all the Rooster.
Big up the Stevie.
And the Triton shell and all those
awesome.
Statues.
And then big up to Toby Smith for restoring them, too.
Right.
For finding them and putting them by. But the originals were awesome.
Yeah, he actually recreated the flamingo. He didn't restore that.
I think he couldn't find the flamingo, but I think he found one that he restored. But nonetheless, those artwork, they were brilliant. They were ahead of time.
So
you got to remember, they were done out of, he welded them.
And he never went to school or nothing for that. He teach himself how to do that. He just watched some dudes welding. And he just picked up on it and was like, well, let me go make a statue.
And it was brilliant.
And so he was giving away scholarships and not getting any sort of remuneration from the government. He was just like, hey, sponsor some scholarships. I don't think they ever came through. So I don't know.
Wow.
And even with the Bacardi bot that he did, he just was like, okay, you could pay me in scholarships for some kids. So those definitely came through because that was a corporate thing.
Right.
Taking me back now to like when I used to do jingles, I didn't really like it. But, you know, the Shoe Village been playing my jingle for 17 years. You know what I'm saying? The Bed in the Bahamas ad that been playing, you know, back when the Super Bowl and the Obama inauguration was happening.
That's right.
So it's like, you know, I buy some Tada music now, too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know the voice and all of that. And like I said, you got two CDs right there.
Two out of the four that I've done.
Two out of the four,
the years,
right, that you've done. And a lot of people don't know. Some people don't. They push out one or two, and that's it.
Well, it's been a long
four.
Time. Well, I took a decade off, but it's still been a long time. I started recording when I was 17, so this year makes 25 years.
But in musician years, like how do you say, dog? Isn't musician years, they said 15, 17, that ain't a long period of time. I still been for Lauryn Hill to bring her crazy self back, and we going on 25, 30 years.
Don't call Lauryn Hill no names. Lauryn
I was, listen.
The epitome.
Listen, for that one album.
What's your favorite Lauryn Hill
song? Out of dopeness. Boy.
I think mine is. Might win some, but you really lost one.
No, let me tell you my actual favorite Lauryn Hill joint was actually when she was with the Fugees.
Oh, Killing Me Softly? No.
No, Mona Lisa, could I get a date on Friday? Or if you're busy, then maybe Saturday. That's a classic, man. That's off the album. You know me digging in the crates and listening to everything. That was dope.
Yeah.
That might have been the one for the Fugees for me. And then when she did her album, no disrespect, but it was like real girly. So
whatever.
You know,
that was bad.
No, but at that point,
this educational art. No,
it was a dope album. But you got to understand my perspective as a jock playing it on the air, and every 2 minutes. You can play the Lauryn Hill, please.
Yeah. It's funny how money changes situations.
She
was rapping.
But you gotta give credit where credit is due. On some of them albums, Praz was ridiculous. A lot of people don't know the dopeness of Praz unless they dig deep into the Fugees.
Yeah.
Because when he went solo, he was garbage. But boy, let me tell you, when he was in the Fugees, he hated the Fugees.
So between
and then we know Wyclef Jean.
Wyclef Jean? So when I was like 19, I actually won the John Lennon songwriting contest, and Wyclef Jean was one of the judges.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And then in 2003, when I was 23, I interned at Clive Davis label J Records.
What was that like to be around Clive?
I only met him once.
But I literally met him.
So I was coming out of the A&R department, which is the artist and repertoire department, where they do all the interaction with the artists. So I actually met a lot of artists. I met Dido, Busta Rhymes, Angie Stone,
Wyclef. Hey, Dido, man. Listen
Dido.
Here.
She's so dope. Anyway, back to Clive Davis.
I never knew nothing about Dido until MJP. When we first started going, I was like, you know nothing about Dido?
And
I was like,
Eminem
no.
Eminem song.
Yeah, and that right there. My tea's gone cold, I wonder why. See, do what you do. That's why I announced, because I can't sing.
No,
I can't carry a tune in a bucket.
You could tell a joke.
Yes, boy, but I can't carry a tune in a bucket. So you're interning with Clive J.
Right, and I hadn't seen him the whole time. Right. So I'm probably on the third, like, I close to about to leave to go back to Canada. And all of a sudden, someone hops in the elevator, Clive Davis. I was like, what I can say to this boy? And he already looked like he was like 100 years old. And I was like, hi, Clive. We've never
true,
met.
True Bahamian style. Clive, what's going on?
Hi, Clive.
Good.
We've never met. I'm an interning in the A&R department. My name is Tennille. And so he says, oh, that's really cool. Like Captain and Tennille. I was like, yeah. And that was it.
Oh, God.
I didn't even let them know I was an artist when I was there. I was just trying to get like the inside scoop on how a record label is run.
Right.
So that I could come back someday and own a record label or, you know, push Bahamian artists out there the way. Who was big then? 50 Cent was big then.
Listen, man. When 50 was big, I'll never forget it. That's when I used to 94. And he was here performing, and they gave like two people exclusive interviews. I was one of them, and I had to sit over there in Atlanta and wait for him for an hour. But boy, when he sat down, he gave me one of the dopest interviews ever, like 35 minutes, 40
minutes. That was
minutes.
Before the vitamin water and all that?
Oh, yeah. That's when he was first coming out, you know what I mean? When he was first blowing up.
Yeah.
So when he was into doing that. Now, obviously, after the second album, you...
And when I went to... J Records around 2003. The first assignment I had was, go and drop something off to Deborah Cox's husband at Trump Towers or something like that. And I was like, what? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I remember Deborah Cox, a couple of hits too back in the day.
And I think she's Canadian.
She's Canadian, yeah.
So that tied me back to my roots of doing music business in Canada and, you know.
A lot of babies still doing music in Canada now too.
Like who?
Who was oh, Lord, what's his name? Big Red Kid, man.
Oh, Lion Johnson.
Lion, that's right.
Yeah,
and
Edmonton.
Big Lion, and up in Edmonton, he'd been pushing out for years.
Yeah, and he was recording since I was like 18, he was 16 in Funk Epidemic Studios with
Funk
Rick Perry.
Funk Epidemic, you remember that?
Biggie, Cello, the Black Pearl.
Where Cello is these days? Cello had some dope music back in the day.
Cello, the Black Pearl, still out there. Gemini, I think, is his new moniker, but he's in Detroit. Married with like 5, 6, 7, I can't keep track of how many children, but we did that song together, Go, that was big on like jams back in the day.
All right. Say, Lottie, leave Lauren alone. She and his crazy as Lincoln. Oh, Lord. Here we go. Here come my taxes already starting. Naughty question. It's a great conversation, but listen, Sam is rushing to leave. We should be saying him goodbye and get him a Kong salad. Listen, rushing to leave, he done gone. I don't know that you've been texting. He done gone.
When he said Sam is rushing, I thought he was going to say Sam is rushing on Bay Street for junk or no, but to no avail.
No, he rushing to get out of town.
You're going to laugh at my joke then?
No, I got
too
it.
Still.
No, I got it, but I mean.
Dry humor. It's all right. I could take it.
When I think of Russian and I look at Sam, Sam and Sam look really Russian. He looked Cossack, you know. He looked like he's dripping with caviar and vodka in short order. He could disappear. He could blend. Witness protection under Putin.
I'll smile at your joke.
No, I wasn't trying to be funny. Because Sam, listen, there's a picture, and I can send it to you. There's a picture of a canary. And you know the canaries, how they give them the little funky haircut to the top?
Yeah.
Boom. They got one that looks just like Sam Friedman. I said, the irony.
But then, you know, like, what I do like about him, I don't know much about this FTX business, but I like that he used to, like, wear slippers and, like, jeans and T-shirts and stuff like that. And he was filthy rich, even though he, I don't know how he got
and sleep on
beanbags. Oh, okay. I know about all that. But, you know, because when I wear slippers and thing, I don't want nobody sending to me in shorts.
No, but I would be honest with you. If I ever hit, like, that point in time where I feel like that's a stupid amount of money,
mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I drag in slippers and shorts, too.
Mm-hmm.
Cold.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I go.
Okay.
and be stinking rich.
I could be keeping an eye on you for that then.
Yeah, have you seen me look like I snum in?
Yeah.
I really loaded.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
And have you seen me like dressed to the nines? I'm trying to fake it till I make it. That's how I'm doing.
Good, okay.
Because you know, once you see me looking scrubby and shabby and pop down, that's the psych. I'm comfy.
Now, you know I'm here to die right now, but of course our Rise Bahamas supporters, Gino Andrews in particular, he said, what's up with all these missing people happening around the place? Missing children in particular
but we
can, for me.
We could talk about that though, Tadar, I mean, or, you know, Tania, however. Or, you know, it's the truth though. A lot of times there's missing kids, and now I'm seeing a lot of missing old people too.
Yeah, and when I see older people, the first thing I think is, okay, maybe they have dementia or Alzheimer's,
and they are,
it's a desperate situation because they might not know even where to start.
But, you know, I
but I feel like every other week I see a toddler missing.
I've noticed that.
And it only lasts for a few hours.
But still,
why?
I think what's on the rise is a lot of people using the kids, back to being using the kids as pawns in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, I supposed to have him back on Saturday at 6, but you know what? I ain't really on a run. I may want me to see him for a couple more hours. I can take him back in the morning.
Okay.
There you go. Now, here comes the, you get the attention factor going on, because now you go around me for keeping the kid. Now I got your ear. You can go back and forth. Now I got your attention. You on my run, however it is. And the child's the pawn, you know, back and forth.
What I've seen mostly is, like, children who actually show up at police stations, or someone drops them at the police station saying they don't know.
Now, that's when I get really upset, when I see those kind of warnings and alerts online. You know, please call the police station if your four-year-old is missing. How could your four-year-old be missing? You don't know where your child is?
And the poor children sometimes don't know their name. They don't know their parents' name. Nothing like what you could do with these people. So thankfully, New Providence is small, so word gets around through social media.
Yeah, but again, we're not doing our due diligence as a community and as parents, because I remember when I was small, it was instilled in me. I knew my name. Mm-hmm. I knew the phone number. Mm-hmm. I knew my father's and mother's name and aunts and grandparents. And I knew emergency people. I had a handful of people I could call if there was an emergency.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it should be even easier in the day of social media that we have it in multiple platforms to reach out. Everybody got a phone, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, on this note, all I want for Christmas is Marco's alert. Marco's alert.
Can we finally get it?
So it looked like we had a little alert that was sent out for the tropical storm that came. I think they used the Marco alert system for that. And I've been in talks with ACP Chivago Dames, and I'm looking at hearing back from him affirmatively that there'll be something in place, a finalized Marco's alert system, early in 2023. So we can hold tight for that.
I can cross my fingers this time, because I ain't gonna hold my breath. The last time I had my breath almost passed up.
Okay.
Let's go to the break, Mr. Producer. Let's get the first break out of the way. Flip side of the break, we'll continue the conversation with Tadar, unless we talk something about, you know, society and community. Then we'll be talking with Tennille Burrows from Rise Bahamas. It depends which hats we're wearing.
Two guests in one show.
There you go. See, two for one, slammy on a Wednesday edition. Now you're hooking you up for Christmas, man. And nobody giving you two guests at the same time for the price of one. All right? Only talking heads. Let's go to the break.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video, want to step out and look great, then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place, is your place, is your place.
Burger King wants you to ride into the holidays in style with a brand new 2022 BYD Han all-electric sedan from Easy Car Sales. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Just upgrade your favorite combo for one ticket, or double your chances with the King Combo, or triple your chance to win with the purchase of a BK family deal. It's electric at Burger King this holiday, where you get the chance to win a 2022 BYD Han EV sedan when you upgrade your combo at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Center, South America. Within days, I got an appointment They presented me with treatment options. And you set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer.
They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family.
I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody, from Talking Heads right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. See you in the new year.
Julio Cast, last. Now everybody go to breakfast.
Talking Heads, the Wednesday, December 21st edition continues right now. Time flying, man.
It sure is.
Christmas could be in a second.
Time flies when you're having fun, they say.
That's what they say. Or time flies when you're flying away all the time. Like the VM, because he's gone again. Is he still in Cuba? Or is he back from Cuba today? Or tomorrow? I hope he brought me a cigar back. You know, hand road.
Oh, y'all cool like that, eh?
That's my buddy, man. We see each other at sporting events, man.
Oh, okay.
Like I tell him, just don't drill for oil and we all good, brother. And now I got to tell him, just don't drill for oil and stay home for more than 48 hours.
And bring Marco's alert. Add something to that list.
What it is?
Bring Marco's alert.
Yeah, bring Marco's alert for sure. Thanks. We need that. But the big talk today, though, is Bankman-Fried out of there.
Yeah.
Extradited, gone, and oh boy, let me tell you, the special treatment this one got. I mean, I don't think a Bahamian male his age brought up on those charges was going to court the way he was. Escorted all soft and cushy and all of that. Mm-mm.
You know how it go.
He just could be shabby.
You know how it go.
And he was in the sick bay, talking about, oh, rat infestation. Not the sick bay. Mm-mm. You was cushy in the sick bay. You had your own bathroom in the sick bay. You didn't need no slop bucket or no cardboard.
Let's not even start talking about, human rights issues.
But that's why...
Prisons. And
yeah, that's what we got to address going into the new year. It's one thing to incarcerate people, but how humanely or inhumanely are you incarcerating them?
Yeah, and when are we going to decriminalize small amounts of marijuana possession, please, and absolve or give
expunge
amnesty
the records
of these young men who are in jail for that?
Yeah, and some young ladies, too.
And young ladies, too. We don't want to be, like, making criminals inside there for people who ain't really doing nothing criminal. Like, let's get with the program. Like,
and if you look at the world and where it's going,
there's
more places legalizing and decriminalizing than continuing in the draconian method.
I'm worried about, like, the industry side of it just yet. Decriminalize it. Like, our jails are overcrowded. We have a high rate of recidivism where we have repeat offenders over and over and over. So when we look at the crime that's going on, criminals are being trained and bred and nurtured in Fox Hill Department of Corrections. I'm not sure what kind of level of rehabilitation is going on. I don't know what kind of restorative justice we have going on. So on that note, just let the people who gone in there for weed out. You just dealt with this
FTX for the minimal amount, right?
Yeah, you just dealt with this FTX doing a certain way. Deal with them appropriately and let them out. Let the Rastas and whoever smoke whatever they want. Like,
they should be sacramental. When you look at the legislation, you know, sacramental portions should be addressed for the religious, medicinal for the medicinal, and recreational for the recreational.
And then, like, the majority of people might be saying, well, how does this affect the wider population? I'm just thinking, like, dude, like, people of that sort of demographic, they want to see that they have an opportunity at having a life. And if you take away the opportunity of having a life for such a minimal thing, then it seems as though the rule of law isn't in effect. When you got politicians and other people in higher places of power being corrupt, benefiting off of contracts that are government contracts, issuing contracts that shouldn't be issued and all these sorts of things. This high-level white-collar crime that goes on in this country that is never addressed. You don't ever see nobody get prosecuted for nothing. Meanwhile, some young man on the streets with a joint going to jail? Uh-uh. Fix it.
And I agree with you there because, you know, you go there, you lament on it and say, okay, this might not have been a best decision, but I got caught with X amount. It's minimal. You know what I mean? I should either have a fine, community service, or whatever.
Yes. And then Troy Edward Clark with the lead, the National Lead Institute, he has a program in place where if someone is, you know, charged with this type of offense, they have treatment options, therapy options, training options, things like this where they avoid going to jail altogether. And then I guess alternately for those who would come out for being pardoned or having an amnesty, they could go through similar sort of treatment and training and that sort of stuff as well.
But my whole thing is, and those are great points, but my thing is, you tell a kid, okay, well, you know you made a mistake and all of that, but you got to recognize this is what you got to deal with.
Expunge
it. And you know how many doors get closed because of that? And that would lead to people being discouraged,
and
disenfranchised,
angry,
and then go down that road.
To serious crime. Violent crimes.
Because they feel they have no other way.
And I saw that there was a study a few years ago before it was even the University of the Bahamas. When it was still College of the Bahamas, they did a survey of inmates at Fox Hill Department of Corrections. And they found, the findings were that the main factor for their criminal behavior, the inmates, was economic. It was based on economics. So when you look at the Bahamas, let's just break it down. Our two major industries, what they think or we think are so great, tourism and financial services. I think with tourism, maybe about 85% of that money leaves the country. So it comes in, makes us look good, like, oh, we're so rich, we're making billions of dollars. And
then boom, then you look around.
It's gone, first of all. Second of all, our cost of living is, at this point, third highest in the world. Third highest in the world.
Abaco already having issues recovering, and now the cost of living going up, making it even more difficult to rebound.
Now, I could see, like, Switzerland cost of living being high because they got ish. We ain't got nothing. We can't even drive down the road without busting a tire. Right? So the money don't stay. They come from tourism and financial services because we don't have many boutique hotels. We have major mega resorts and things.
And we need to build a lot of boutique hotels. That's where the money is. Now that's where the market is.
Cost of living, astronomical.
Crazy.
Then you got the income inequality is like massive. You got billionaire people like, what do you name? Louis Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where Nygaard is now. He must be in jail somewhere. Nygaard, all these people living wherever they live, who have a crap ton of money. So you have the filthy rich, and then you have the dirt poor.
And no in between and no middle class. And like I tell people, if it's a middle class, they're foreign, with a lighter hue, blue eyes, a briefcase, and a necktie.
You're right. And then we have to look at the other statistics from 2013 with the extreme poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the number of 2013?
I think it was Twitter and almost at like 52% that was above it in 2013.
I don't know what you're talking about. But there were 43,000 people, which was at about 11% of the population. 43,000 people subsisted off of less than $4,500 a year in this country.
No. I get that. I'm saying on that. So those same lines, they said that only 52%.
Of
the population were above the poverty line at that time. So just imagine from 2013 to now, all what we've been through, do you think 52% of the population is above the poverty line right now? Mm-mm. I think 53% or more is below the poverty line.
No, I don't know what that sounds unimaginable because we would be in a very, very serious situation like Venezuela.
It was hovering.
But we're talking about like $4,500 a year.
Now, breaking it down into those kind of categories and columns and files, that's crazy, though.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous.
And it's like I saw the other day Tyson donating 100,000 meals a month to, I think, social services, which is great. But when you have close to 43,000 people hungry every day, dependent on you know, feeding programs to eat, so that 100,000 gonna go by fast.
So we need to invest in agriculture and marine, mariculture. We need to teach people how to fish and to farm so that they can feed themselves. Because the feeding program is just a band-aid.
Right.
It only gonna last one meal, and then what? You have to rely on somebody else. We got plenty juju and Gnep and almond and thing wild around the place. So maybe behemoths ain't gonna stop if they just go look in the bush or go into the sea. But we need to like formalize these things and have some sort of food security, first of all. And then look and at like how Spanish whale did the exports.
That worries me too, that word food security, because at the end of the day, look at our situation. We're low-lying. We're going to be affected by climate change sooner than later.
And, you know, I used to be
and,
on...
And we have to look at where we're going. And if we're going to do this farming thing, we need to do it right. And behaviors need to take it serious and realize that, you know, inevitably, we need to produce, like you say, what we need so there's not a food shortage.
Right. And $1 billion is what we spend on food imports every year. $1 billion.
On imports that say for export only. And I wonder why.
So when you look
at
the quality.
Why we get the for export only quality, but not the proper stuff.
So you're looking at that aspect. And then you're looking at the aspect where people can't afford to pay for good food or organic food or whatever. So they're buying ramen noodles. And then that affects their health. And we don't really have, real national health insurance yet. So it's all like, I mean, it's a holiday season. We should be merry and bright. But when January comes and people already spent their money and they really look at what's going on in this country, what do we have to feel excited about? What do we have to look forward to? What do young men between the ages of 18 and 25 who are the biggest perpetrators of crime in the Bahamas and also the main victims of crime in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. are we just going to let them keep doing what they're doing and not give them any opportunities and hope that they could change and do something that's cool, like maybe creative industries, music. A lot of them rap, a lot of them sing.
Somebody told me the other day, all right, one of my good friend's sons, 24. Mm. And he said, Uncle Naughty, you know, I'm doing good, but I live in a Bahamian dream. I got a
Honda.
That's a 2018. Mm-hmm. We're in solid. I got my job. Mm-hmm. I got two kids, and I ain't dead yet.
Mm-hmm. You have a bill for that Honda, or he bought it outright?
I'm just saying, though, that's the like you say, because, you know, most people in my age group don't make it this far. They done dead or in jail. And I'm like, wow, that's how sobering it is that the 20-somethings, that's arrival.
Yeah.
That's the watermark the bias, right there. That's, mm-hmm. that's you done good with that.
Right.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm happy he's working. I'm happy that mm-hmm. you know, he thinks that those are some of the token things in life that you should achieve. And he does good by his kids. I can't deny that. But is that what it is? You've achieved. You've arrived. There's so much more to live for, young blood. So much more to live for, nephew.
What is aspirational about what we as a country offer to our young people?
Well,
when we look at the brain drain.
I was just going to say, not too much. Look at the brain drain because out of here.
The majority of young people that graduate from universities abroad stay put.
But listen.
They don't come back home.
You know how many kids that go off to university and before they leave, they look at getting work wherever they're from or whatever, you know, town or state they went to in the United States or Canada. And by God, when they fill out, if they're qualified, when they come out, they got better starting opportunities over there than they do here with
and
companies that fight
line.
To recruit them and bring them in because of their qualifications.
The I used to try.
So why are you coming over there when they treat you like chicken salad to come home and be treated like chicken crap? It ain't going to happen.
Say it again for those in the back that didn't hear, because I used to ask people, hey, why don't you come back home? Why don't you consider coming back home? I came back home because the Life at Key scholarship I got said, you got to come back home for 2 years and give back to the country. I turned into 10 years, 20 years, whatever, however long it turned into. But I can't discourage anybody from staying put anymore. If there are no opportunities or not adequate opportunities in this country, then you need to look else. You need to look elsewhere. I'm sorry. I mean, we have a Bahamian descent, Aisha Bo, who's a rocket scientist.
Correct.
About to go into space.
About to go into space is correct.
We have Major League Baseball athletes. We have
NFL, NBA, WNBA, track and field.
Olympic medalists. My brother-in-law is an Olympic medalist for triple jump.
Superman!
Shout out to Superman Sands.
Levine, my boy.
My sister Danielle Sands. And the boys, Trey, Lion, Legend, and Life. All of them in the house. They're back home for a bit. So
they some cool names.
Thank you. I had nothing to do with them.
But they cool, though.
Yeah, when they named that child Lion, I was like, what? And
proud,
he used to growl
that's
a as a
proud Arnie right there, boy.
He used to growl as a baby. So when he went to the Olympics, Levine, when he actually had that bad accident, I kept the five-month-old Lion and the four-year-old Trey, and I was like, boy, this is trial by fire. but we did okay. We did okay.
Boy, I look back though, and like I say, we've come a long way, but we got so much more to go and so much further to go, and we got a lot of young people that we need here to build this country. And like you say, the brain drain is absolutely kicking us in the ding ding. It's just horrible.
If I could, if I had a dream, it would be to have a prime minister like Mia Motley.
Why?
Not.
No, I'm asking why. I mean, I think she's good people. I like a lot what she does.
Okay. I met her in 2015 in Montego Bay at a CARIFORM conference on trade and industry throughout the Caribbean. And I was like, this woman could talk. So at first I was like, okay, she could talk. Then I realized she was in the opposition at the time. She was working hard. She was doing press conferences and coming up with this idea and addressing this issue that they had. And she was like pushing. I was following. And when I told her I wanted to run as independent, she was like, you need to run with a party. You need to run with the opposition. I was like, no, I'm trying to do a thing, but thanks. And then when she won, You all right, Naughty?
That was funny. I liked that one.
I was serious, though.
Trying to do a thing.
I was trying to make a point, like, you know, to heck with them. But anyway, at the end of the day, she ended up winning winning every single seat. They had to constitutionally make an amendment to allow the person who was the leader of opposition back in parliament, just so that they could have opposition. And then guess what happened the second time she ran? The same thing. So it is a testament that she's actually doing something with sense. She's actually having a world audience when she speaks about climate change. She don't play around. She's like, look, y'all promised the small island development state stuff. Y'all better deliver. Because at the end of the day, we don't want suffering. We don't want no lip service. Whatever it is, she's saying, it resonates, and she's winning all these awards and all that stuff. So I feel proud to know her, but I feel a little shame because I can't see any prime minister that could even touch her in terms of the not just the what they're working on, but the inspiration that they bring as well. She gave Rihanna honors, and she does all these sort of things that you wouldn't see a typical person in that position doing.
Right. A little outside the box, but yet it works.
And then, I mean, working for them.
And then moving to the whole becoming a republic, that was brilliant.
That was a big thing. And you know, a lot of Bahamians who listen to this guy on the radio show.
And that's what we need.
They always talk about that.
But you know, I don't know.
We need some decolonization first. We need to get rid of these slave mentality and thing around here. We need to learn to band together, love each other, fight for rights of human beings. And then maybe something will happen. We need a movement. Back in the day, they had the women's suffrage movement. Back in the day, they had the labor movement. Now we need a movement for change in the Bahamas that is real and tangible, and for everyone,
and for
not
all
just
Bahamians.
For the rich people. Yeah,
right.
All Bahamians.
We mean, you know what, mommy? You know, we're getting a little bit older and better, like Bino there. Today. I mean, we may put our heads together and network and bring some friends together and do a thing in 2023. You know.
Well, let's start with local government. Let's get local government in New Providence. You run for which city? Which area you in?
I am in the West. So
you in the West,
area.
Run for that area. You be a council person or mayor or whatever, and let's go from there.
Sound like we got to get Nicolette and Matt Aubrey with you in early
Nicolette,
in the year, and let's have a conversation.
Nicolette Bethel, Matt Aubrey, Valentino Brown, Ed Fields, Yvette Pintad-Nurin, all these people, Nyambi Hall Campbell, I think she have another name, but I can't remember it. But all these people are on board, and, you know, local government for New Providence is something that Bahamians can rally around. When we look at the economic situation, the crime situation, the crimes against children situation, local government could impact these things in a way that we probably can't even imagine yet. So I want you to go on risebahamas.net and check out the information and see for yourself what you think.
There you go. You know, we got to get to the break. The news coming up, but I want to thank you for stopping in and bringing us up to snuff and get me my CDs.
You show them off. You're on camera.
Which MJ has already said, bring them directly to me.
Hey,
when
MJ.
You get home, you see
hey,
what I
hey,
said?
MJ.
So there you go. So,
they in Logos.
There you go.
Harbor Bay, and they in the National Art Gallery on NAGB on West Hill Street.
Boom.
Have a happy
Street.
Holiday, Daddy Man.
Yes, and you and yours and your family are the best. And love your kids, you're decent, and we'll see you in the new year doing big things.
Yes,
and
sir.
You know Rise got me, man.
Yes, sir.
And all my little shorties who did that commercial with me, man, keep doing well, and Uncle Naughty, love you, and have a good Christmas, all right? So we'll get to the break. Coming up on the flip side of the break, we got the news coming at you, and we'll talk sports in the 5 o'clock hour. Have a great Christmas, star, and I got my CDs. No, Mr. Producer, they are mine. My wife done claim this. We'll see you on the flip side of the break as the Wednesday, December 21st edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Keep off the holiday season with Dunkin's three delicious signature lattes made with rich espresso and topped with whipped cream. Sip a Dunkin' peppermint mocha latte with mocha and peppermint, or try a toasted white chocolate latte with creamy white chocolate flavor. The new Dunkin' brown sugar cookie latte features notes of sweet brown sugar and holiday spices. Hurry in today. The Dunkin' holiday lattes are only in town for the holiday season. The holidays run on Dunkin'.
George Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. Whatever the occasion, John's is confident you will find what you're looking for. Among our always growing collection of amazing and trendy styles, we cover women, men, children, the whole family. Together with John's great prices and helpful and friendly customer service, your experience in shopping with us will be time well spent. Too busy to come in store? Shop with us online, www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances, so come on in today at John's, where we put fashion at your feet.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Simon Games has a list of names. Who will get the cash? Yes, we brought it back. 20 gets you in, 12 things to win. Right now we'll put money on your book. You can have a very Merry Christmas. Simon Games can take care of your wish list. 12 things of cash must with Percy Simon Games. It's the game you know, the friends you trust. You may play with them, but you win with us.
For every $20 deposit, you're entered to win cash.
Christmas coming here.
Christmas is coming and your fingers are tingling for the KFC flavors that satisfy your cravings. Get that fried chicken holiday vibe with a juicy KFC Festive Feast Mega Pack. Loaded with 8 boneless KFC bites of 100% white meat, a chicken leg, mashed potato with gravy, corn, a biscuit, a delicious guava dessert biscuit, and a mega-sized Pepsi. Have a finger-licking good Christmas with KFC.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Your class, last, now everybody go to breakfast.
Shiloh.
Talking Heads with Naughty is sponsored by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Dunkin' Donuts, Fine Threads, Jaws Department Store, J.S. Johnson, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Wednesday, December 21st edition of Talking Heads is on and popping. Your boy, Naughty, and your company right up until 6 p.m. And don't forget, we got Purdy chiming in. Is Purdy chimed in yet? He should be chiming in short order. I know he's close. I know he is close. Not too far. Probably air fat frying again. So I'll wait for him to chime in, but while we do, wait on Pearlie. So we'll chime in. A phone's ringing. Let's go to the phone line. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, Naughty. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Big Jeff?
Right here, man. I know you're in your sports hour right now, but I
well, what you got for me? What you got for me?
That I was there. Listen, this is a question I wanted to pose early on the show. When Sam Bankman-Fried is, well, according to you a couple minutes ago, you said that he perhaps is already on his way to the United States if he's not there by now. My question would be that once he starts to sing like a canary, all those involved, because obviously he's not the only one, I would presume, that is involved in this matter. And I basically would like to know what's going to happen when he does start to talk. If there are other persons from other jurisdictions that is highly involved in this, because obviously he may not be the only one who received money or used these people money.
Mm-hmm.
How is the U.S. going to go after these people, even if some of these persons are in our own jurisdiction?
Well,
are they going to be extradited to the United States to stand trial as well, along with him?
Well,
remember
now, Jeff, remember now this is the gray area. There's FTX U.S. and FTX Bahamas. Different jurisdictions.
Uh-huh.
So we got to make sure, you know, that we clear up that gray area. But I'm sure that questions that Bahamians have been asking will be brought up, like who were the 1,500 Bahamians allowed to withdraw $100 million before FTX declared bankruptcy in the Bahamas, 24 hours before they declared bankruptcy. Who were those people? What were the increments that they withdrew? Who did they withdraw them for? Are they politically affiliated? So on and so forth.
And that is the basis of why I asked my question. Because, obviously, he's not going to be the only one who will have to give an account for this money. But let's see where it goes from here. And, you know, it's going to be quite interesting. That's all
it's going to be very interesting. And guess what? He has got plea deal written all over him. You facing 100 years?
Come in.
You facing 100 years, brother? You going to work it out some way, somehow.
Yep. Well,
so,
he'll be a fool to go down by himself. That's all I can tell.
And obviously, you know what bothers me in all of this, Jeff? Is that America gets to have two birds with one stone. One in the sense that they get SBF, and they get him on home court and on home soil. And second of all, they can continue that narrative of the Bahamas being corrupt and shady in certain business characters and a haven to nefarious characters and so on and so forth. Our reputation has been sullied again.
Well, apparently there are those pundits who believe that the Bahamas' name and reputation is not going to be dragged in the mud. Again, like I said, and keeping an open mind, this matter now is not before the Bahamian courts in a short while.
Okay, Jeff, just backtrack to that statement. Just let me know when I could call BS on our brand and our reputation not being sullied, okay?
Exactly.
Just let me know when I could call BS, because you know I like call BS.
Yeah.
But anyway, if I don't talk to you, man, you and your family have a great Christmas. Happy New Year. Keep fighting the good fight and doing what you're doing. Respect you for years without fears, my big brother. All right?
I appreciate that, Naughty, and same to you, MJ, and your children.
Yeah, they ain't little no more, boy. If you see them now, Jeff, Jesus Lord.
Yep. Okay, my friend.
Big and bigger. Be safe, man. Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Thank you.
Boy, Mr. Producer, this one can get juicy, you know. This could get juicy. Somebody text me, say, we can get a Netflix special out of this. But how well did the last Netflix special go? With Billy McFarlane and The Waterboy. Come on. Really? You want to see that debacle again? No. No, no. We can't revisit that. All right. Let's get up in today in sports history, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. Well worth the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza Monday through Friday. Great for lunch and dinner. Then on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, great for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, of course, happy hour every Wednesday and every Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. out there at Naughty Johnny's. All right. Today in sports history, brought to you by Naughty Johnny's. On this day, December 21st, in 1941, Ray McLean of the Chicago Bears performed a dropkick for an extra point in the NFL. The next one would not happen until Doug Flutie performed one 61 years later. 1951, Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. 1959, Tom Landry accepted the position of head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And Tom Landry led the Dallas Cowboys to 22 consecutive winning seasons in his 29 years as head coach. One of the greatest coaches of all time in the history of the NFL, and still by far, possibly the greatest coach in Cowboy history. Some may argue Jimmy Johnson. Others will always argue the hat, Tom Landry. 1969, Vince Lombardi coached his last game. His Washington Redskins lost to the Dallas Cowboys, as they always do, 20-10. The Redskins ended that season at 7-5-2, which was the first winning season for the team in 14 years. 1975, John Riggins became the first New York Jets player to gain 1,000 yards. 1975, also, George Blanda, in his final regular season game, became the first professional football player to reach 2,000 points. His total was 2,002 points over a 26-year career. The Buffalo Sabres in 1975 scored 8 goals in the third period against the Washington Capitals. The Sabres won the game 14-2. 1980, Harold Carmichael ended his NFL streak of 127 consecutive receptions. Or games of 127 games with a reception in it. That's a lot of games. 1981, Cincinnati defeated Bradley 75-73 in 7 overtimes. The game was the longest collegiate basketball game in the history of NCAA Division I competition. 1983, the Indiana Pacers ended a 28-game losing streak. And in 1993, Shaquille O'Neal's I Know I Got Skills single was certified gold by the RIAA. Today's sports quote, my IQ must be 2 points lower than a plant's. Tom Watson, pro golfer, disqualified for illegally changing putters. And that's a wrap on Today in Sports History, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. We'll get to the first break right here on Talking Heads. We're talking sports in the 5 o'clock hour, flip side of the break. We'll chime back in. Earl the Pearl should be joining us. And, of course, we'll get into the home court. All things local in the sports world, all brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. We'll get into who's in and who's out, brought to you by Tropical Gyros. And, of course, we got our pro picks coming at you, all brought to you by the Island Game. So keep it right where you got it. The Wednesday, December 21st edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Christmas is coming, and your fingers are tingling for the KFC flavors that bring us together this holiday season. Enjoy a festive feast mega meal, packed of 8 pieces of juicy fried chicken, family fries, 4 buttery biscuits, and a half gallon of Pepsi in a reusable bag. Available for a limited time, these reusable drink bags are perfect for your next get-together. Have a finger-licking good Christmas with KFC.
When I had got prostate cancer, my family didn't know if I was going to live at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Within days, I got an appointment. They presented me with treatment options, and they set up a robotic prostatectomy. When my scans came back, there are no signs of cancer. They don't see you as a number. They see you as a part of family. I'm going on with my life. It's a real gift.
Call us at Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well, what the
George Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. Whatever the occasion, John's is confident you will find what you're looking for. Among our always growing collection of amazing and trendy styles, we cover women, men, children, the whole family. Together with John's great prices and helpful and friendly customer service, your experience in shopping with us will be time well spent. Too busy to come in store? Shop with us online. www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on in today at John's, where we put fashion at your feet.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Dunkin' has a new twist on an old holiday favorite. The Dunkin' Turkey Cranberry Sandwich layers sliced deli turkey, Swiss cheese, fresh crisp arugula on a flaky buttery croissant, all topped with mustard and cranberry sauce. Made to order all day long, the Dunkin' Turkey Cranberry Sandwich combo includes a bag of crispy popcorners and a freshly brewed iced tea for only $9 plus VAT. Tis the season. The Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
This is Erin Green, wishing you and your family happiness, peace, and mangoes this holiday season and throughout the new year from Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Young class, last, now everybody go to breakfast.
The Wednesday, December 21st edition of Talking Heads continues right now. We're into the 5 o'clock hour, 5:25 p.m. is the time. Don't forget on the take-home today, we got Rich Eisen, all right, with the power rankings. Yeah, I don't know how cool Rich was to my Cowboys this week. I don't know. Wasn't too cool over Reaction Monday, I'll tell you that much. Nonetheless, still a favorite of Rich Eisen. Now, kind of a somber note, okay? Franco Harris, legendary running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, has passed away at the age of 72. Saw that earlier in the news. And was deeply saddened. Grew up watching Franco. And I'm no fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right? But I am a fan of great football players. And I'll tell you what. Franco Harris was definitely one. And he will always be intrinsically interwoven with the NFL. With one of the greatest plays of all time. The Immaculate Reception. As a matter of fact, let me see if I could see if I could pull it up here. Mr. Producer, I'm sending you a link now, okay? And I think it's only right that we play it simply because the greatness that was Franco Harris. And he's passed away today at the age of 72. So Mr. Producer is on the way to you right now. Let me know when you got it. Give me the heads up. And while you do that, I'll do this. Like I said, Steelers Hall of Fame running back Franco Harris has passed away, has died at the age of 72. And this as per ESPN News Services. Franco Harris, the Hall of Fame running back whose heads-up thinking authored the Immaculate Reception, considered the most iconic play in NFL history, has died. He was 72. Harris' son, Doc, told the Associated Press his father died overnight. No cause of death was given. His death comes 2 days before the 50th anniversary of the play that provided the jolt that helped transform the Pittsburgh Steelers from the also-rans into NFL elite. And 3 days before the team is scheduled to retire his number 32 during a ceremony at halftime of its game against the Las Vegas Raiders. We have that play lined up. Let's check out the Immaculate Reception from Franco Harris. All right? And this is, like I say, etched in NFL folklore. One of the greatest plays in the history of the NFL.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. Franco Harris has it. And he's over. What? Franco Harris. Grab the ball on a deflection. 5 seconds to go. He grabbed it with 5 seconds to go and scored.
Let's watch this again.
1 million to 1 odds on this one.
Ricochet out there off of Jack Tatum and into the man of the year, Franco Harris's hands.
Here's the miracle of all miracles.
From out of nowhere came Franco Harris, riding a white stallion, heading up Franco's Italian army, and galloping off into the sunset.
One of the greatest plays in the history of the NFL. Steeler Nation has lost a great one. And I'll be honest with you, the NFL lost a great one. Sad news there and not today. All right? Remember Franco in your thoughts and prayers. All right, some who's in and who's out news for you. All brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. Don't forget, brand new location of Tropical Gyros, open JFK Plaza. All right, R&D Plaza, JFK. There you go, R&D Plaza, JFK. Be sure to check him out. All right, Chef Coleman and crew over there at Tropical Gyros. And don't forget the... flagship store on Mackie and Rosetta. Is that Pearly we have chiming in?
Yeah. Sorry about that, man. I was digging in some grub, you know?
He wasn't digging in no grub. Anyway, just digging in. Wasn't no grub.
No, it was grub.
Grub don't make you late.
You know what I be doing this time of the evening.
Right, and they ain't digging in grub. It's be catering to your gal. So come on now. We know who had you distracted.
Life is good. It's almost Christmas.
See, no denial. You see what I said, Mr. Producer? Pearly, you can't hide from us. Pearly, that's me and Mr. Producer, okay? You can say that for other people, but don't... We know... Pearly, we are your friends, Pearly. But listen...
But you know, Naughty, I'm giving in to this tradition, and my family got me taking pictures in pajamas tomorrow.
Dear Jesus, my wife just called me and says, guess what, sweetie? Our family pajamas have arrived.
Oh, God. Okay.
Your family probably been talking to MJ.
Maybe so.
Dear God. Well, I'll send you pictures of us. You send us pictures of you.
No problem. Not a problem.
You probably going to have some dolphin pajamas. If they dolphin pajamas, I won't burn them in the grill too, okay?
No. They wouldn't allow that. I really tried, but they said no. Unfortunately, there are only 2 dolphins in the crew. My other son is a Falcon. And nephew is pulling for the Patriots, so, you know.
How he get pulling for the Patriots? Is he like one of these new school fans or something? Like, all he knows is seeing Brady win, so.
Brady, man. Brady, you know.
Oh, God. Is it okay to say I just threw up in my mouth a little bit? Is that all right?
That's fine. I did that several times.
Okay, good. Well, Pearly, listen. Sad news today, the passing of Franco Harris, man. That kind of bugged me all day.
72. I didn't know he's that young.
He was very young, Pearly, and I want to know what really transpired. I'm just waiting for the details, but man, that took the wind out of my sails when I heard that. Man.
I know, and they're actually celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception.
The irony, and then they're 3 days away from retiring his number at halftime in the Raiders and in the Steelers game on Christmas Eve.
Sad day. That's going to be a sad day. That's an emotional day.
And like I tell people, I am no fan of the Steelers.
Me too.
But I respected Franco Harris, Terry Bradshaw, Rocky Blyer, you know, Stallworth, Swan. Those were great guys. Webster Stallworth. On the offensive line, all of those guys. You know, yeah. Mel Blount in the secondary.
I like those teams. I used to like Terry Bradshaw until I found out how he got to be the starter at Alabama. That kind of soured me a little, you know.
But Terry Bradshaw didn't play at Alabama.
Where did Terry Bradshaw play?
He played at Louisiana, something or the other.
When he came to the Steelers, the quarterback was a black quarterback.
Yeah, Gillum.
With far more talent.
Right. But that had nothing to do with Bradshaw. That had everything to do with Chuck Noll.
Well, yeah, but you know.
Listen, I think Gillum was the talent, more talented of the two, all right? But you got to look at the time, the place, and the era there, Pearly.
That's my point.
And Bradshaw, to his credit, he was benched several times before he finally grasped the book.
He went to Louisiana Tech, yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
But he was benched several times before he really grabbed the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And another one.
He said he was dumb as a doorknob. He couldn't really, you know.
He couldn't grasp the offense. It took him time. Once he learned it, though, he was held to pay.
Yeah.
Because he knew it so well. At that point, he'd look over an audible off of Chuck Noll and call a different play that would actually work.
Yeah, you're right.
And you could tell he knows his game because look what he's done in the broadcast booth post-retirement.
Yeah, he does know the game.
Some of the best takes of all time.
Yeah, you're right.
So I look at it for what it is. But do you know that there was another Pittsburgh quarterback that also went to Louisiana Tech, I believe, played later on for them with one of the greatest names ever in the history of football, Bubby Brister.
Bubby Brister.
You remember Bubby Brister?
I remember the bus that was Bubby.
Bubby Brister played for years in the league as a backup to the Bubby Brister dread.
He sat on the bench with Les.
Yeah, but he got paid, Bubby Brister.
That's
the greatest name, but I used to see him when I was younger and, you know, have a few cocktails and see Bubby. Bubby Brister, look at Bubby. It's the Bubby. Can't take babies nowhere. Well, I'll tell you, this is good news for you. You're probably rejoicing this. I don't know if it's injury. Yeah, because of the ankle injury, but Ryan Tannehill is done. Ryan Tannehill is out for the rest of the season.
I saw that. I saw that.
And
that was exciting.
I hear you smiling as you say it. I saw it. You only smile.
I never wish injury on them.
You just love when Tannehill stinks up the joint and Saban and Alabama lose. That just puts you over the top. Now, here's something. Matt Ryan benched again. So
yeah, but what you expect? He looked like crap.
Yeah, no, he has not played anywhere close to where they thought he would be. Now they want a second in basketball. Now the Lakers want a second opinion on AD.
Yeah, guy here is worse than you think.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of his list, Frank. He's done for the year.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook now suffering from the left foot soreness, and he's not going to play. So, problems in L.A. And LeVar Ball now saying, hell no to LaMelo joining the Lakers.
I agree.
There's no way he'll do that after they treated Lonzo. Until they trade for him and push him with a big contract, and guess who could be sidelined cheering on the Lakers? LeVar.
Right, who?
LeVar. That's just how LeVar go. Big air bagger.
Yeah.
It's the same man who said he'd beat Michael Jordan one-on-one.
Yeah.
Apparently, Terrence Ross is back on the radar for the Los Angeles Lakers, though.
I just have not been interested in my Lakers. I've not been interested in the NBA at all like that.
Listen, let me tell you what they're thinking, okay? Despite the recent winning streak in Orlando, they're going to be active sellers on the trade market. And they got a few people up for grabs. Now, according to Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, veteran guard Terrence Ross has long garnered the interest from the Los Angeles Lakers, while the New York Knicks have also showed interest in the past. RJ Hampton is also considered a strong Orlando trade candidate, while Mo Bamba is the team's greatest trade chip, as per Fisher. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Raptors, the Kings, and the Nets are considering potential options for Bamba. Bamba was the number six pick of the 2018 draft and has showed plenty of upside in his career, especially on the defensive end. And apparently he's averaging 15 points, 11 rebounds, and 2.7 blocks in 36 minutes per game.
Wow, that's pretty decent.
And so they're looking for a package of Ross and Bamba. And I like that, Mo Bamba. We had the Black Mamba, and now we got Mo Bamba. So we technically could have had the Black Mamba and the Black Bamba.
Okay, we'll go with that.
I think it works. Terrence Ross would be a good addition.
Probably so.
All right, but listen, for those of you getting caught up with this, and me and you might have been guilty of this too, Earl, let me just tell you what the Lakers are looking like right now in our future draft situation. In 2023, the Pelicans have swapped rights to the Lakers' first-round pick. The Lakers will either retain their own or get the Pelicans' first-round draft pick. The Lakers own their second-round pick and the Bulls' second-round pick. So technically, the Lakers have a first-round pick in this year's draft and two second-round picks, which is not that bad.
Okay.
2024.
That's pretty good.
The Pelicans could claim the Lakers' first-round pick. If the Pelicans don't, this pick becomes tradable for the Lakers around draft time. The Lakers own either the Wizards or the Grizzlies' second-round pick.
Okay.
In 2025, if the Pelicans don't take the 2024 pick, they can claim the Lakers' first-round pick this year. The Lakers own their second-round pick. That's in 2025. So it all depends on what the Pelicans decide to do. And if they move sooner rather than later, it works for the Lakers. Now, the Lakers will have a first-round pick in either 2024 or 2025, but we don't know which year yet, depending on the Pelicans' move. Now, in 2026, the Lakers own their first-round pick. The Cavaliers own the second-round pick. 2027, they own both their first and second-round picks. In 2028, they own their first-round pick. They own the worst of the second-round picks between them and the Wizards. And in 2029, they own both their first and second round picks. But because we got that swap with the Pelicans, all hinges on which way it goes. But technically, we got more than two picks over the next couple of years in the draft. So we could do some things if we use Dark Cabeza.
All right. I like that update. That's cool. All right. So we were guilty of thinking we had nothing until 2027.
Right. And we fell for the clickbait.
Yeah, I thought we had a couple of second rounders, but that was about it.
Right. So now we got second rounders and first rounders, and we should be able to do something. Pelinka needs to do something because now he does have ammunition, right? So he needs to get it done. You feel me? Or am I?
I'm feeling you.
All right. We're looking at it right now. So it's 5:40, Pearly.
I got you.
We
got
to slide into the picks for tonight.
All right, what we got?
Well, we got to look. We got basketball.
What we got in basketball today? Let's see.
We got pull up the schedule for me. I'm trying to pull it up right now.
I'm pulling it up right now. So we get Bucks at Cleveland.
Okay.
At 7:05. Then we get Detroit at the Lakers at the Kings at 10. So we get Detroit at the Sixers. The Raptors at the Knicks. The Pacers at the Celtics.
Uh-huh.
The Bulls at the Hawks.
Not bad.
The Warriors and the Nets.
That might be a good game.
Dallas and Minnesota.
It's a couple of 15
teams. At Thunder.
Uh-huh.
Magic at Houston.
Hold on. Magic at Houston.
Magic at Houston Rockets.
All right.
And then the Hornets at the Clippers.
Are you sure?
Today is the 21st day of December, right?
Correct. So we got Lakers and the Kings, Bucks and the Cavs, Pistons and the Sixers, Bulls and the Hawks, Pacers, Celtics, Warriors, Nets, Raptors, Knicks, Magic, Rockets, Mavericks, Timberwolves. Boy, they playing back-to-back. That's what it was. Remember yesterday they both went in 15 and 15?
Not Magic, Timberwolves. The Mavericks, Dallas Mavericks.
Sorry, the Mavericks and the Timberwolves, they playing back-to-back. Blazers and the Thunder might be an interesting game right there. You know, the Thunder on that back. So. Hornets and the Clippers. The Clippers need to blow them out. That's what they need to do.
Well, it's 7.5.
All right, so let's put a couple of things together. Let's put a couple
of
things.
And then football tonight is Western Kentucky and South Alabama for the New Orleans Bowl.
Western Kentucky and South Alabama. I like South Alabama in that game.
I like them, too. They're 3.5-point favorites, too, but I like them.
I like Southern Alabama in that game, man.
So, I like them.
Before we put this together, let me just make a little announcement. I got to remind you. The Island Game has the 12 days of cashmish going on, and the Island Game is going to reward 78 patrons this holiday season with $250,000 in cash prizes. Excuse me. All you have to do is to enter. All patrons who deposit $20 or more on their verified account during the promotion dates will be automatically entered into the promotion. Patrons can enter as many times as they like. However, they can only win once during the promotion. For more information, simply log on to theislandgame.com. We'll always remind you to play responsibly. All right, Pearly. So let's look at some basketball tonight. Parlays. Who we like? Who
All
we
right,
like? Who we
see like? What I like tonight.
I like, listen, the Bucks and the Cavs, that's a good game right there.
Well, in the Cavs' favorite, you know. I leaving that one alone.
You ain't touching it? How much the Cavs favored by?
2.5. I'll take the Bucks in the point.
Yeah, give me the Bucks in the 2.5. I'll take that. Okay. I like the Kings over the Lakers tonight.
Actually, all right.
No LeBron, no AD, and no Westbrook. I like the Kings over the Lakers.
These are the kind of games they've been, but anyway, okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. They gotta prove it and prove me wrong on that one.
Real talk.
Pacers and the Celtics. I like the Celtics in this one to rebound because they bucked their toe against the Magic the other night.
I like that too.
Warriors and Nets, I'm staying away from it.
Actually, no. There's no Steph again. I go with the Nets.
Oh, no Steph? We going with the Nets. Yes,
no
indeed.
No Steph or Wiggins.
All right, so we got the Bucks with the points, the Kings in the money line. We got the Celtics. What's the spread in the Celtics game?
9.5.
We going with the Celtics on the money line. Nets and the Warriors, what's the spread?
5.5. Who? The Nets and the Warriors?
Yeah.
11.5.
No, we going with the Nets and the money line. Yeah. And then we got the Knicks and the Raptors. I like that game right there. Give me the Knicks and the money line on that one as well.
The Knicks are 1.5 favorite.
Yeah, give me them in the money line.
Yeah, okay.
That way I'd be safe. Yeah, that's a 14 right there.
I'll take the Clippers. I'll take the money. 7.5 Clippers over the Hornets.
Yeah, we'll take that as well. And then throw in South Alabama over Western Kentucky by the 3.5.
Yeah, okay.
Bet it, set it, and forget it. There you go.
Yes. Yep.
And then
so when the Island game is coming, tell me when my money, you ain't gonna tell me because I do the show, I can't win, right?
No, but you're good to go. You got to collect for me and you because they'll tell me that, but they won't tell you that.
All right. Okay. All right.
So big up to the Island game. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Now, Pearly,
uh-huh.
Any news out of Dolphin Land?
Not much going on right now.
Well, you got T.Y. Hilton has settled in nicely, according to the reports out of Dallas.
My only problem is who controlled him. Okay.
Anyhow, you just mad.
Let's make sure Doc, you know.
I done talked to Todd Prescott, Doc's brother. I talked to him on Twitter the other day. Me and Todd had a conversation. Everything could be everything, all right?
So, since your boy Carlos Correa went to the Mets are now cemented as the World Series favorites. That's why I know the Dodgers could win it this year because the favorites never is caught and picking win it.
I saw that, Pearly. And I'm like, wow.
But the Mets pulled one. Touche. The Mets pulled one out. The Giants looked like crap in that one.
Yeah, they did. Correa. They snagged Correa.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I was like, ooh,
the Yankees are happy with what they have, man.
As a Dolphin, I never sad when I always happy when the Giants get screwed over because I know they're happy when we get screwed over.
But I can tell you something. As a Dolphin or as a Dodger, you mean?
Uh-huh.
You said as a Dolphin, but I know you mean as a Dodger.
I mean as a Dodger. Yeah, as a Dodger. Because I'm looking at the Dolphins page. That's why.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you, man. We re-signed Tommy Canale. So that's a good look.
That's good, man. That's good.
And I'll be honest with you. Hal Steinbrenner said, listen, the Yankees aren't done yet. I got the checkbook out. I'm playing.
It ain't matter you ain't got the money. It's a matter of people. You got to find them who you can take.
Steinbrenner says the New York will still be active this offseason. The Yankees aren't done yet. Not by a long shot. All right? And this is amid the Judge and the Rondon contracts.
Okay.
They retained Judge on a 9-year, $360 million deal and added Carlos Rondon on a 6-year, $162 million deal.
Okay.
And they now when you look at it, the Yankees do have pressure because look what the Mets have done in free agency, Earl. Carlos Correa, $315 million.
Make themselves the team of.
But look at this. Hold on, Carlos Correa, $315 million. Brandon Nemo, $162 million. Edwin Diaz, $102 million. Justin Verlander, $86.6 million. Kodai Senga, $75 million. Jose Quintana, $26 million. Omar Narvaez, $15 million. Adam Ottavino, $14.5 million, and Dave Robertson, $10 million. They put out $806.1 million, right?
So my thing is now you're spending all that money. Who you got to play the other place? Position rookies, $700,000 players.
Gotta be.
That's what can hurt you. Do you have the balance?
I don't know. But the rumors are that the Yankees are gonna actually try to make a significant trade with Correa off the board. The top free agents in 2023 class have all found homes. Elvis Andrus, Corey Kluber, Jerickson Profar, Johnny Cueto, and Zach Greinke are the best players available that are left on Fangraph's war. So we'll see. Greinke might be another good addition for the Yankees.
We're looking to pull off some trades.
But they say the Yankees, that's probably the direction they're going to go in as well.
Yeah. We're looking at the Pirates outfielder, Brian Reynolds, talking to or Alec Thomas from the Diamondbacks, or Dalen Carlson from the Cardinals.
Yeah, I keep hearing Dalen Carlson. That name keeps popping up.
Yeah, I keep hearing this. That's the second or third time I heard his name called.
All right.
And then Max Kepler. Max Kepler is a left-hand batter. Since we lost Joey Gallo, Max Kepler is a left-hand batter we're looking at.
All right.
Come off the bench.
Well, you got options there, Purdy. Mr. Producer giving me the thumbs up. We've done our job. Our time is done. We got to run. Get back to that better half of yours and the deep fat fryer, and we'll do this again tomorrow.
Not a problem, my brother.
Enjoy your games tonight.
Fryer. Don't do that. Not deep fat. Air fryer, my brother.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Air fat fryer. My bad.
No, that's air fryer.
Oh, air fryer.
There's no fat involved.
All right. Whatever. I'll get it right one day when I own one.
I'm sure you will.
Don't forget, I got that Joker's hookup for you. Too. Y'all need to come get your laugh on most.
You can do that. I can give you a shot tomorrow.
And Lindsay Glazer. Oh, God, Lindsay's funny.
He's funny. I've been planning. I just been told to plan the weekends. I'll let you know.
All right. Just let me know, man. All right. Appreciate you, brother. We'll talk soon. All right. Mr. Producer, be up out here. Everybody who chimed in today, great stuff. Thank my homegirl, Tada, for popping in early in the 4 o'clock hour. Quick commercial break. On the flip side of the break, Rich, we got Sports Illustrated, Michael Fabiano. Start him or sit him for everybody still in fantasy football. Good luck this weekend. Purdy, bring home the money and the trophy. I hope you sip from the golden goblet, my brother.
Oh, yes. Looking forward to it. Party in the West.
Yes, indeed. We'll talk soon. We'll see you tomorrow on the Thursday, December 22nd edition of Talking Heads right here on Guardian Radio. We going.
Okay.
Off the holiday season with Dunkin's 3 delicious signature lattes made with rich espresso and topped with whipped cream. Sip a Dunkin' peppermint mocha latte with mocha and peppermint, or try a toasted white chocolate latte with creamy white chocolate flavor. The new Dunkin' brown sugar cookie latte features notes of sweet brown sugar and holiday spices. Hurry in today. The Dunkin' holiday lattes are only in town for the holiday season. The holidays run on Dunkin'.
With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you wanna look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Wanna step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
Diamond Games has a list of names. Who will get the cash? Yes, we brought it back. 20 gets you in, 12 is the win. Right now we'll put money on your book. You can have a very Merry Christmas. Diamond Games can take care of your wish list. 12 is a cash must with Percy's Diamond Games. It's the game you know, the friends you trust. You may play with them, but you win with us.
For every $20 deposit, you're entered to win cash.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Christmas is coming and your fingers are tingling for the KFC flavors that satisfy your cravings. Get that fried chicken holiday vibe with a juicy KFC Festive Feast Mega Pack. Loaded with 8 boneless KFC bites of 100% white meat, a chicken leg, mashed potato with gravy, corn, a biscuit, a delicious guava dessert biscuit, and a mega-sized Pepsi. Have a finger-licking good Christmas with KFC.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody, from Talking Heads right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. See you in the new year.
Your cast, last. Now everybody go to breakfast.
Congratulations. You're almost there. It's the home stretch. Just 2 more weeks until you get to hoist your trophy. I'm Jen Piacenti. Joining me today, Michael Fabiano, our senior fantasy analyst at SI Fantasy. And we're going to get these lineups rocking and rolling, Fab. Let's start with the quarterback position. You like Geno Smith versus the Kansas City defense, who's been pretty generous this season.
By the way, it's Santa Fabs this week. Yes. And Geno had a stinker last week, only 15 points, but he's been more good than bad this year. He's been a very nice Christmas gift. Let's put it that way. All the Christmas jokes are coming, folks. The Chiefs, they have been bad against quarterbacks. The 4th most points allowed. 17.9 or more points to 10 different quarterbacks, including 20-plus points allowed 7 times. So Geno, in what should be a positive game script if you want Geno to score points in that game, should thrive. And I like Tom Brady this week. Like, I've been down on him the last couple of weeks, and for really good reason. He hasn't been great, but I really like the matchup against the Cardinals. They've allowed the 8th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. 8 quarterbacks have scored at least 18.9 fantasy points against them, and 5 have gone over 25. This is a smash spot for Brady.
Despite Santa Fabs, he's not liking Dak Prescott this week. I mean, you got the hat on, and then you're telling me to sit Dak. No. I don't know how to feel about this. I have a feeling you're also going to talk to me a little bit about Jared Goff's road split, so give me the business.
I have to be unbiased. Like, I hope Dak throws for 450 and 5 touchdowns, and I'm dead wrong. But I got to look at the numbers. I mean, Dak has scored 16.8 or fewer fantasy points in 3 of his last 4 games, and the Eagles have the toughest defense in the league against quarterbacks. So I'm just putting the numbers together. In a traditional 1 quarterback league, he's really no more than a low QB1. And Dak's been throwing interceptions lately too, which is not good. So if you start him, temper expectations. And yeah, I mean, Jared Goff, I've mentioned it. This guy gives out fantasy points at Ford Field like Santa on Christmas Eve. But on the road, he's kind of giving you a coal in your stocking, right? I mean, he's averaging fewer than 10 points per game on the road. He has 3 touchdown passes on the road. This week he's playing on the road against the Panthers, and they've allowed an average of fewer than 16 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. So unless you reach the fantasy championship, which I hope you do, because he'll play at home against the Bears, I'm sitting Goff this week.
Yeah, it's tough to do, but I think you got to do it. All right, we're going to move to the running back position, and I think maybe we found this year's Rashad Penny and Jerick McKinnon. I mean, a little sore about this one because I definitely got ousted from a league this weekend, and it was certainly 100% due to Jerick McKinnon in flex spot for my opponent. I'm still sore, but
I don't know how you don't play him. I mean, 66.6 fantasy points, kind of an evil number, but pretty good in fantasy, right? I mean, over 30 points in two straight games, and now he's got Seattle, right? Their defense has allowed the second most points to running backs, the fifth most catches, and the fourth most receiving yards to running backs. So, Jen, how can you afford not to play McKinnon this week? It's too good of a matchup, and he's been too hot. And then my guy, J.K. Dobbins, loved the matchup against Atlanta. He's been hot in the two games since he's come back. 225 rushing yards, has scored a touchdown, 30% touch share. Atlanta's defense has allowed 18-plus points to eight different running backs. So J.K. Dobbins should be an RB2.
Love J.K. Dobbins. Running backs to sit, Brian Robinson, and I know this had to hurt you to write this because I know he's one of your favorites. Donta Foreman seems to be losing playing time to Chuba Hubbard.
Right, and we'll start off in Washington with Robinson, who's looked really good lately. Right, he's running hard, 45.3 fantasy points in his last three games combined. But Niners, no bueno, no thank you. I mean, they've given up five touchdowns and the fewest fantasy points of running backs all year. And Robinson's still losing a little bit of burn to Antonio Gibson, so I'd fade him. And then Deontay, I love you, man. I've been fighting the good fight, but lately it's just not been good. The last couple of weeks have not been good for Deontay. Chuba Hubbard's been the better back in Carolina, and the Lions have quietly allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs in the last 4 weeks. The Lions, it's crazy, right? So I can't play Foreman this week, unfortunately. If you're desperate, you can flex him. I just don't love the matchup, and I'm getting worried about the usage.
I understand. Yeah, it is crazy how the Detroit Lions have really tightened up that run defense. So be sure you pay attention to the most recent stats, and that's what we're here to give you. A wide receiver, Chris Olave and DJ Moore. Get a start for you this week.
Yeah, Olave burned us last week. The numbers weren't great against Atlanta. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to flex the rookie this week against the Cleveland Browns. The matchup is very good. They've allowed 12 touchdowns and the third most points to perimeter receivers. Olave is running about 70% of his routes out wide, so continue to play him. And I know DJ Moore, I mean, geez Louise, it's really hard to figure him out from 1 week to the next. But as good as the Lions have been against the run, they're not good against wide receivers. They've allowed the fifth most catches and the seventh most fantasy points to perimeter receivers. And we know Sam Darnold likes to throw to DJ Moore, so he's in the flex conversation.
The quarterback situation in Arizona is absolutely a mess. And I'm assuming that's why you're saying we should sit Hollywood Brown this week.
Yeah, no question. You're looking at a third string quarterback there in Trace McSorley. That's not good. And then you look at the matchup against the Buccaneers. It's not that it's an awful matchup, that it's a great matchup. It's all about the quarterback situation. The Cardinals' offense is a mess. I mean, even Nuke Hopkins didn't have a huge game last week, so I'd beware of Hollywood. And Deontay Johnson, who had a good game last week. It was his best game of the year. He had 20 points. But if Kenny Pickett is back this week, he likes to throw the ball to George Pickens more than DJ. And then the matchup's not great against the Raiders. By the way, great all-time AFC rivalry going on at the formerly stadium known as the Big Ketchup Bottle. The Raiders have allowed just three touchdowns and the sixth fewest fantasy points to perimeter receivers. So you may not want to chase the points with Johnson if Pickett is back this week for Pittsburgh.
It's kind of hard to believe that it's come to this, but you actually feel it's important to tell us we should start Mark Andrews.
Right. This is crazy. This is how crazy this season has been. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that I'd have to tell you to start Mark Andrews. You know why, Jen? I've been telling people to sit him for a few weeks now, and he's been bad. 7 points per game in his last seven games. This is Mark Andrews we're talking about, but Atlanta is awful against tight ends. They've allowed the fourth most points to the position. They just gave up two touchdowns to Juwan Johnson. So hopefully Mark Andrews will bring you the gift of a good stat line because he hasn't had many lately. And then Pat Freiermuth. Last week, I had the same number of points as him. Yeah, that's not good. Zero. But I know that he's a risk. If Pickett is back, I like him much more against Las Vegas. Their defense has allowed six touchdowns and the ninth most points at tight ends. If it's Trubisky, I'm a little bit worried. If it's going to go back to Pickett, I feel a little bit better about Freiermuth, and the matchup obviously is favorable.
As far as tight ends, you don't like Cole Kmet versus the Bills or Dawson Knox, who actually had a really big week last week versus Miami, but Miami is notoriously bad versus a tight end. In fact, you know, if Robert Tonyan's available on your waiver wire, he's possibly streamable.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.